10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up, the most important thing that has happened this week. Introduced by State Senator Michael Testa. Details in seconds.
Sterling, every damn night, from coast to coast, America's most peculiar radio host. When Sterling's on the air, the ratings are super high. No program director can ever figure out why. Sterling, every damn night, from coast to coast, America's most peculiar radio host. Every damn night.
You and I heard that for the first time just now. Didn't it make you feel proud to be part of a premiere on American radio? Walter M. Sterling, KFBK Sacramento to WGAN in Maine. I am so proud and impressed by a bill introduced, the big bill, the most important bill. Introduced by Republican State Senator in New Jersey, Michael Testa. He introduced it Thursday. He would direct state agencies to use the term the Bay of New Jersey in publications, signage, websites, and materials to reflect the new designation and notify relevant federal entities. No more Delaware Bay. We need to rename historic Delaware Bay to the Bay of New Jersey. Well, he has reasons, this Testa fellow. I look at the robust fishing industry, commercial fishing industry, and recreational industry of the state of New Jersey. I think that the fact that we have to call that bay, that we fish in Delaware Bay, they've had the claim long enough. And why not? And then I took it further, and I thought, if we're going to just change the names of geographical designations, why don't we sell the naming rights to advertisers? Every sports stadium in America has the name of a major product attached to it. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Do I really want to go to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse? Do I want to be reminded of my mortgage every time a ball game comes on? That's a little troublesome. The Blockbuster Stadium also turned out to be a problem. One of the great ironies of our time is the Carrier Dome at Syracuse University. The Carrier Dome was not air-conditioned. And now it is sponsored, instead of Carrier, it's sponsored by a Wi-Fi company, an internet company. And there is no Wi-Fi in that stadium. Carrying on one of the great traditions.
Sterling, every damn night.
It's 11 minutes past the hour, 11 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. And there are people who live a very different life from you and me. Yeah, let me hear a little music for that. There you go. Listen to this. We have to get the right music. Gwyneth Paltrow. She made a podcast. This is what it said. I could play it, but I think I can emphasize certain things better than Gwenny could. Listen to this. She says, I recorded this week's solo episode of my podcast from my hotel room in Naples, a city I first visited 25 years ago while filming The Talented Mr. Ripley. That was during a time when I felt incredibly lost. She was 25 years ago. She was filming a major movie in Italy, and she felt lost. I always find it interesting when a place doesn't quite feel right. Yeah, like a Holiday Inn in Jersey. There she is in Naples. If I can, I like to go back and try to understand why. You get this sentence. Listen to this sentence. This is a different life than you and I have. In the case of Italy, it wasn't until I returned with Brad, when we were dating, that I started the process of healing my complicated emotional relationship with this incredible country. She's referring to Italy. She needs to heal her incredibly complicated emotional relationship with this incredible country. Eventually, says Gwyneth Paltrow, eventually I fell so deeply in love with it that we bought a little cottage here, which has become a second home to us, just like LBI. It's what I love about travel, the way it can surprise and expand you. I hope this episode stirs something in you, maybe a memory, or a pull toward a place where you might meet a new version of yourself. A new version of myself. Where am I going to meet a new version of myself? Where am I going to meet a version of myself with a 32-inch waist and 40-inch shoulders? Where is that version exactly? And arches. I lust to have arches in my feet. Where is that version, Gwenny? She's urging us to go to a country where we can find a different version of ourselves. I have children. Maybe you do too. What kind of version of myself are those kids going to allow me to have? Here's the version they're going to allow me to have. You ready? Where's dinner? Can we go to the Apple store now? I want ice cream. Those are the versions of myself that my children want. When can I get new shoes? When can we go down the shore? Those are the versions of myself that I find in New Jersey. Go someplace where I can find new versions of myself. This is the busiest travel month. This is the busiest vacation month. The odds are you're going to take a vacation. You're going to take it this month. But it's exhausting. Every father will tell you it's the most exhausting thing he can possibly do. He can't wait to get back to work so he can relax and go to lunch with his friends. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday. I am Walter M. Sterling, coast to coast. Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
You're carrying a babysitter. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I tell the story of the insurance fraud investigator who gets locked up for falsifying reports. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
How about them cowboys? Details later, strippers on the loose. Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling.
There's only one place for Sterling Every Damn Night. 1210 WPAT.
Yes, and all of you listening on KMOX, I'm glad you got to hear that it's WPHT. Mr. G is a legend in New York City media. He has been on the air in New York City with Dumont. He started television in New York City, Mr. G, and Lee Harrison, executive at News Nation, owned by Nexstar, run by Perry Sook, a really smart CEO. He went to them, Mr. G went to the people at News Nation and said, I have an idea for a feature. I have an idea for a video, a podcast. I hate the word, but that's what it is. And when I was first told about it, it's called Whiz Kids. And I thought, okay, it's going to be like kids say the darndest thing. And boy, was I wrong. Oh, my gosh, Mr. G, this is a very different group of kids. This is a group of, well, I'm not going to describe it. You describe it. Tell us about the criteria for being featured on your podcast as a whiz kid.
Well, it started out as me doing stories for the local television station about kids that are entrepreneurial in nature. So what we did was we went out and we did a story about a 12-year-old blind singer. I'm mentioning that for a reason, whose name is Iolanta. I met Iolanta when she was only 10 years old. Then I followed up at 12 years old. She's a beautiful, beautiful young lady who sings and is filled with gratitude for the life that she has. Remember the name Iolanta, because she was named after an opera singer, Iolanta, who was in a great singer who was born blind, and she turns out to be a superstar. And this child at 12 years old, named Iolanta, born with retinal cancer, she is now getting private record labels, and we realize that she has so much goodness in her heart that Iolanta one day may be able, with surgery, to get her sight back. So I asked you to remember the name Iolanta, because she's going to be across the country. The best of this is yet to come. And she has three private record labels, and she's going to be on the national show. She just doesn't want to reveal how and when, but we found her. And then also we found the gratitude, and also we found the give back. So she's one story that stole our heart. There's another one where at the Javits Center, there were kids making, you ready for this, smart glasses. They were only in junior high school, and they made smart glasses. They didn't have a patent pending. They had a patent. And what you would do is program your day through your glasses. And that means, you know, you have a meeting with, let's say, Lee, and the program glasses says, reminds you, call Lee at 2 o'clock. You have something else to do, reminds you. And what they're doing here is they're replacing the phone. You could see where these kids are going. 5 years from now, your hands are not going to be tied up on a phone. Your glasses are going to be speaking to you. Your glasses will be infrared, will have a camera. Your glasses will be your hearing aid. And these kids just are stealing it. I mean, and not only that, we're doing a story about kids who are trading stocks. And, you know, in Europe and also in Western Europe and also in Canada and the United States and China and India, these kids at 18 years old are making an awful lot of money trading stocks, and they're changing the equation in the family because they work hard and they work very, very hard, but very smartly. And they end up making more money than families who are working their whole lives. And these kids want to have a different life, and they don't want to be encumbered by anything other than being an entrepreneur. They want to change the equation at home, and we're working with banks to get the parents' computers so they can catch up to the kids in a new lifestyle, which is changing the chemistry in the house in terms of finance.
I can go on and on. I have a question about one of them. Mr. G has created a podcast called Whiz Kids, and you can find it on YouTube. It's being distributed and produced in conjunction with News Nation, the great Lee Harris, an executive at News Nation, and boy, are they lucky to have him. He let me know about this. I said, well, let me look. And it's spectacular. The one that really got me, Mr. G, the kid that I went, whoa, is the young man who has a relative who has dementia, and he invented something for that relative. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I think what you're talking about, the kid with the accent and was trying to bring a kind of awareness to.
No, it's different. I'm sorry. I should have been clear. The shoes.
The what?
The shoes.
The shoes?
The shoes. So there's a kid who you're featuring on your podcast who had a relative who has dementia. He invented these shoes that will let other people in the family know exactly where that relative with dementia is.
Okay. So what we had was a tracking device. And right. In the tracking device, we haven't actually, you know, you're ahead of me because some of these stories haven't aired yet. You know, these are ideas that we had that, as you said, you know, the NextStar organization is very entrepreneurial, and they're going to love these kids. It's a tracking device. And when people have dementia, many times they return back to a period of time where they're still intact, which is when they were younger. Unfortunately, young kids like to climb, and people with dementia will go up to the highest level, right? Wow. And their clarity, which has not been affected by part of the brain that is still youthful, then what happens is the tracking device will keep track of them. And one of the relatives, a grandparent, they found her. She was lost. She didn't know where she was, so she would keep moving and try and get on a train just to be around people and not alone, and then go to a highest elevation, which would be a rooftop, and climb the steps, which, you know, children do. That's what children do. They climb. Right. And they always go to the highest point. And on this show, we're going to show that this little insert in the shoe can track her back to the computer that the kid is on, and they can locate where they are, so they can, and they did, save her life.
Mr. G, can you name one more thing that another kid has done just to nail it so we totally understand what WizKids is about? This is a brilliant idea you've had, Mr. G.
Well, you know, you give me a lot of credit, but I think the one story that I want to tell you is the story about this 4-year-old who they said has perfect pitch, and he's only 4 years old. And when I said, well, I've been told I have perfect pitch also. So the kid said, okay. So he said, why don't you sing a song for me? And he's only 4, remember? He has a following of 800,000 people, by the way. And I said, okay, here's my song. Johnny can only sing one note, and the note he sang was this. I just said, no. The little boy said, no, that's the wrong pitch. Let's do it with B flat. And then he plays B flat. You see, it's so much better now. He said, do you want me to sing again? He said, no, it's okay.
Mr. G has created WizKids. Look for it on YouTube. It's a product of NextStar and News Nation. Thank you, Lee Harris, and a very important part of News Nation. Mr. G, you're one of my heroes. One day I will grow up and be like you. Thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, are we excited? Yes, I have so much to do tonight. I barely have time to talk to you, but I'm going to get to everything. I swear to gosh. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling every damn Sunday. Now, before we get to the very important Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood information, I must say the KGGF, our affiliate in Coffeyville, Kansas, is experiencing severe weather conditions. It's 77 degrees, but they're suffering from severe thunderstorm watch in Coffeyville, Kansas, and KGGF's James Copeland will be keeping all of Coffeyville up to date. He's there. He's in the control room. He's working the weather, and hopefully later tonight, after 11 p.m. Eastern time, James will join us. But either way, KGGF, for all of Kansas, is covering the severe thunderstorm activity, and I will keep an eye on it and give you updates as we go along. And now, Mr. Boom Boom in Hollywood, did you have a robust weekend, Mateus?
I did have a robust weekend. I had some nice meals with friends and planned some movie events coming up, so it was very... Although I'm a little sad, you know, speaking of, well, not sad, but I guess I'm a little sad because last Thursday we lost a great in the movie composition world in Hollywood, an Argentinian man who died of pneumonia at 93. 93 is a pretty good run, but this man who was born in 1932 in Argentina as a pianist, composer, and arranger certainly made an impression on TV watchers in the United States in 1966 when he was given the assignment to create a TV theme song that sounded like a lit fuse. And that was, of course, the theme to Mission Impossible. And the man was Lalo Schifrin, who went on to do the Dirty Harry movies. Of course, the theme for Mission Impossible, as I've just said. Bullet was one of his great movie themes. And, of course, Enter the Dragon. Six Oscar nomination, 5 Grammy Awards, and truly one of the great creatives in the world of music and television.
Now, Lalo Schifrin created the Mission Impossible theme and started getting royalties from the Mission Impossible theme over 50 years ago. That alone would make him an incredibly wealthy man.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's the story.
He was in his 20s when he wrote that.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it is.
It's nice
great.
To land on, use your talent and get something that continues to put food on the table. He often told the funny story of getting an Oscar and not being able to get it through customs. They wanted to make sure it wasn't something inside, and they sawed off the foot of his Oscar. So he had to go back home. He's got an Oscar that has a saw mark right through the middle of it. Great story. But anyway, I'm sorry to see him go.
No,
But
there are two types of rich people. They're the type of rich people who just for vague or specific reasons you resent. And then there are other rich people you go, good for them. He earned it. Lalo Schifrin, he earned it. Good for him. So congratulations on a great life to him. Movies. What movie did you see?
Unlike our young lady who has questions about Italy when she's making big movies, Gwyneth Paltrow. Anyway,
I have such mixed feelings about my feelings toward Italy. Shut up. I had to buy a house in Italy to resolve my conflict, my internal conflict. Really? I bought a house in the Jersey Shore for the same reason, lady, but it was because the pizza was so good. Oh, my God.
So, talk about robust, the big movie this weekend, Walter, was F1. It slid right in front of How to Train Your Dragon, making $56 million in the last 3 days, which is fairly robust, making How to Train Your Dragon in its almost fourth week or fifth week slip into second place. Although that movie, How to Train Your Dragon, has now made over $200 million and has been one of the big hits. But aside from F1, which is entertaining people with Brad Pitt and Damson Idris and Javier Bardem, which is an F1 racing movie, a lot of great low-to-the-ground shots, great for car lovers, but it's entirely predictable, and you might fall asleep because you know exactly what's going to happen next. So if you like Brad Pitt, who's starting to get a little long in the tooth, but women don't seem to mind, you'll have a good time. If you like fast cars, otherwise, not that exciting, and it's all been done before. I think it was done best when John Frankenheimer made that great movie Grand Prix in 1966.
However, did you get a chance to see the Sally Ride movie, the astronaut Sally Ride? Did you get to see that?
I did get to see this. This is a National Geographic feature film. It is now streaming on Disney Plus and Hulu, and it was very well made by a director by the name of Christina Constantini. Now, she's the one that did the documentary a few years ago about Walter Mercado, that unusual Mexican man who used to do the horoscope things on TV and was hugely popular, although he had a certainly unique style. Her style here was much more interesting because you really got to see the NASA space program and how they started to involve women in the space program, almost an affirmative action effect that happened at NASA, and that made possible Sally Ride's interest. She'd been studying at Stanford. She was a physicist. She's a really smart gal, and she wanted to go to space. And she ended up being, of course, famously the first woman to get into space and became a hero for many women. But what the documentary looks at, Walter, is the fact that she hid from everyone because she was in such a big and important role model place that she had been living with a woman for many, many years, her lover. And this woman is interviewed in the film, Tam O'Shaughnessy, and she talks about their 27-year romance and sacrifices they had to make so that Sally could continue to be a great role model for kids and others going forward. And she certainly broke the space barrier for women and did a lot of fascinating things. So it's a very fascinating story. Now, the only thing that the documentary had that bothered me is that they occasionally recreate scenes between these two women when they're first meeting or they went on their first date, and you see them kiss, and these are actors representing them. When they have the real people on camera talking, I didn't think that was that necessary. Just tell us the story. We believe you. But they had some really great footage from NASA, and it showed the rather, you know, stalwart nature of Sally Ride and her belief in making this happen. And so it was a fascinating story about truly a fascinating woman and a hero for many women and for all youngsters as well.
Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood. In addition to the Sally Ride story, I love to contrast it with the women who recently went up in space, oh, like Katy Perry, who had the audacity to keep saying, yes, I hope I can inspire other women to go into space. Lady, you didn't go into space, and Sally Ride did it 30 years ago, and oh, by the way, several women whose names we don't know did it in Russia in the 60s. I don't think, I'll tell you what, Katie, focus on a hit, get a hit, and then we'll pay attention again. Mateus, how do we find you on Facebook? Facebook?
Mateus Bombals Hollywood on Facebook, Walter. That's MATIASBOMBAL Hollywood on Facebook. One more time, MATIASBOMBAL Hollywood on Facebook. I thank you very much.
Thank you. We have so much excitement coming up. You and I are going to talk to a Catholic priest who, based on our chat, should be defrocked, and the J.B. Bakery people, Selena, who ran for Miss New Jersey and has amazing stories. Plus, I think that's enough for you for now. Don't worry about anything else. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
You're carrying a babysitter. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, I tell the story of the insurance fraud investigator who gets locked up for falsifying reports. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
How about them cowboys? Details later, strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling, and he's always right. Hey, 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 it's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right.
But you know, it's a cute jingle, but it's true. The bosses really do get scared. They said to Drew Anderson, well, some of his topics are a little weird. Yeah, because they're like what two people might talk about at the mall. If there were any malls left, this is what people would talk about. Now, in Coffeyville, Kansas, tonight it's 77 degrees, but they are experiencing a KGGF radio severe thunderstorm watch. The conditions are expected to last until 11 p.m. Central Time tonight. Severe thunderstorm watch. James Copeland at the controls at KGGF, making sure the people of Coffeyville are safe and happy. And hopefully he'll come on in the next hour when things slow down and explain to us how severe the weather was in Coffeyville, Kansas, because rarely do you get to hear anything from Kansas. We really not sure where it is. And never do we get updates on their weather. I want to hear what it has done to the crops. Isn't that what you want to hear in St. Louis, Philadelphia? I know you do. Sacramento, 51 past the hour with Father Jim Drucker and Selena from JB Bakery. Now, Selena is a beauty queen and a ballerina. And I am very tempted for her birthday to get my Meredith, who is a competitive ballerina, an award-winning ballerina. I'm very tempted to get her to have the Dance Mom host to make a video for her. You can get her to You go to Cameo, and on Cameo, the woman who is the host of Dance Mom, she'll make a video saying anything you want. And it's not that expensive. And I think that might be fun. Or it might scare her. What do you think, Selena?
I have to agree that that's a great gift. I think that's definitely one of the more hilarious ways that we've used technology, especially with popular people like Abby Miller. I think that's an amazing gift for anyone who's watched Dance Moms or was a dancer.
Because now my daughter lives in Brooklyn. She lives in Brooklyn. She's gone to Brooklyn College. And I think if Abby Lee Miller said, look, it's very nice that you did all this dancing, but now you have to be an actual adult in your own apartment, and you'd better do as well in school as you did on the dance floor. I'll get her to say something like that. What do you think, Selena?
I think sometimes you need to hear that from a dance teacher. I mean, I have to listen to my director when she says something. So if Abby Lee Miller says it, you got to do it.
Have you had the same dance teacher your whole dance career, or did you get have you had several?
So I had two main dance teachers. I've trained with a lot of different teachers over the years and different companies, but two main ones. When I was very young, I had one dance teacher, and then when I was in a pre-professional program, I had the same director.
From what I've seen, for my daughters who are both dancers and competitive dancers like you, they develop an affinity for a teacher, and they have a very hard time moving on to a different teacher. Is that the case, or were you able to do it every few months for whatever reason?
Well, it's definitely true that every teacher has a different style, and I've definitely had a stronger bond with some of them more than others, but I think being a dancer, you just have to learn to be adaptable.
Selena is a ballerina. She's in Burlington, New Jersey. She helps run JB Bakery. She is also a beauty queen and will give you tips on how to keep your makeup from running on the beach at the Jersey Shore. And there's Father Jim Drucker, who not only was a priest for, as best I can tell, 85 or 86 years and is now in retirement. And he was a captain in the military at Desert Storm, works in the VA system, helps soldiers deal with the trauma and injuries that they suffered in the military. This was a very big week. How did you feel about those bombs going off in Iran?
Well, it's a very loaded question. Pardon the pun intended. I know it was a very difficult decision for the president to have made. He made it as the commander-in-chief. And I believe that he did the best he could, and I've been praying for him.
We have been at war with Iran for 46 years. I don't understand why we didn't drop the bomb after they held 66 Americans hostage for 444 days, forcing Ted Koppel to go on TV every night. I don't know why we didn't bomb them then. That's always been a great mystery to me. That would have been the right time, it seems. And then when our president gave them, oh, here, you can have 60 more days or two more weeks or whatever it was, two more months. And then he did it. I'm like, he could have given them 10 minutes based on the fact that they've been really annoying for 46 years.
Well, they're putting aside the political side of it for the moment. It seems clearly and unequivocally that this is a nation, its leaders, to be clear on that, that truly does not want goodness, does not want peace. They're looking to annihilate, to hurt, to harm, to kill. And that's not right. It's wrong. It's immoral. So we have to pray for them. As a priest, I say to each one of you in the audience that we should each pray powerfully our own prayers in our own way, because prayers are powerful and strong. May God forgive these leaders for what they're doing. You're on the mark, Walter. I completely agree with you that they have to be stopped. So may God give the president and our nation, who, while it has warts and blemishes and weaknesses, is still the strongest nation and the most moral nation this world has ever seen, is trying to bring about peace through strength.
Father,
I agree
Jim,
with that.
Father, thank you, Father. Father Jim Trucker with his Sunday message on Sterling Every Damn Sunday. And Selena at JB Bakery. Quickly, Selena, what is the hottest selling item this week at JB Bakery?
The blueberry crumble donuts. I just picked up blueberries today. We're going to have them for 4th of July.
4th of July, blueberry crumb, amazing. Those are decadent. I mean, saying something that decadent right after the message from a Catholic priest, I think I'm going to go straight to hell. All right, thank you both. Selena from JB Bakery, Father Jim Drucker, Catholic priest, but more importantly, before he devoted his life to Christ, he was the best top 40 disc jockey you ever heard in your life. He was on the best top 40 radio station there ever was. He was on WARM in Scranton. Oh, see, the radio geeks know I'm right. The radio geeks know I'm right. My name is Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Yes, and we salute Mary D. of Ballston Spa, New York. What a great listener. A Midnight Misfit. 6 minutes past the hour now, Dr. Dave Weather.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great. But his bosses were all idiots, and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew,
with Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories, and all the rest, here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
If you live in an urban area with the skyscrapers and the hills and all that, you and I can't imagine what it is like to live through a lightning storm on the wide open plains of Kansas in June with the radiant heat and nonstop visibility. James Copeland, what is that like? Is it scary to be in Coffeyville, Kansas during a lightning storm?
You know, it is pretty loud and noisy here. You know, this afternoon we had some clouds just towering, building, you know, and we get that sticky, you know, afternoon heat. And you know there's a lot of energy in the atmosphere. Well, we've been watching the line of storms that have gone across the Kansas border. Now they're into Oklahoma and tracking southeast. We actually had a 69-mile-per-hour wind gust that was over in the Winfield area, and which is south of Wichita. And again, I know the listeners have there no idea what that is, but it's a southeast part of Kansas. But we're here tracking it. It's 10:09 here at the mighty 690, and we actually have three people in the studio in a town of 9,000 or so with our radio station here. I don't know what other small market station has a fully staffed news department past 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
I don't know of any major market radio stations that have a fully staffed news department after 10 o'clock at night. James Copeland at KGGF, he's the morning host. He's also the secret power of KGGF. Now, James, what crops are prevalent in your area?
So we are mainly, you know, cattle is the big thing, but as far as the crops go, we do have a wheat harvest going on right now. That's a big deal. Of course, rain like this is, you know, kind of disastrous for a wheat harvest. So we don't like it when this sort of thing happens. Not very good. But I did actually drive by a cornfield here because, of course, to go to the transmitter site, which I do all the time. I was out at one today this morning. You know, going by the cornfields, there was one that I went by. It looked more like a rice paddy because there was so much water. We have been inundated with water this year. There's just been so much rain. In fact, just to our southeast of the metro of Coffeyville, Kansas, and there's a little town called Foyle, and I saw that there was just a cell of a shower that just parked there, and for like 2 hours it just sat there and just dumped rain. So we have, you know, this is not good for, we have too much water. So we're trying to dry out. That's been the theme of this spring, is just too much water.
What impact does it have on the cattle?
You know what? I think they enjoy it when their pond's still up, because they love to go for afternoon soaks. You know, that's a big thing. You know, and cows, you know, they like their spa days and that sort of thing. So they'll go out and get in the water and stand and stare at you kind of judgmentally. And that's exactly the kind of thing we need around here. So it's good. I think the cattle are probably happy because of having enough water to go for a nice afternoon swim.
Soaked wheat stalks must be impossible to harvest.
Oh yeah, and you know there that's a problem with some of the test weights and that sort of thing, which, you know, that's a big thing when we're talking about wheat harvest, the test weights. And don't ask me how that's all determined. It's all the secret wheat stuff that they don't you have to be in the know to find that out. But it does provide a challenge. You can even get the wheat kind of like matting down and everything. The combine can't get into it, and so I mean there's all sorts of stuff. We have our ag expert in the room. Our farm director's across the table from me, so he could answer things better than I could.
Well, let's put him on the air. Talk to
our
him.
Farm director. We want to know, Matt Jordan, what's the problem when we get to wheat harvest when it's wet?
Well, it gets gummed up in the header, and it weighs down those wheat stalks, and you just don't get it as harvested as completely as you should.
Can it break the combines? Is it like bad stuff going into the garbage disposal?
Yeah, you can certainly gum up those combines. It can, I mean, not to mention, those are heavy pieces of machinery. Getting stuck in muddy fields, it doesn't, you know, go well either. And, you only use something big to get something big out. Well, what are you going to use to get a combine out? You kind of just have to kind of let your field dry, and it can set you back a while.
Can you call AAA?
I don't think AAA is going to be able to help assist you with your combine. You better luck calling every neighbor you have in the area, and maybe a few tractors could get you out.
How is James Copeland to work with? A lot of problems?
No, fantastic. I could not have asked for a better coworker. We've been working together now, what, almost 3 years? I've been here in Coffeyville just over 8 years, and I've been in radio over 10, and James is one of the best, if not the best, coworkers I've ever had.
Being the agriculture director at a radio station in Kansas is kind of a big deal. And did you grow up in a farm? Did you grow up there? Because if you get one thing wrong, 400 farmers are going to come at you with pitchforks.
Well, you just got to know that you're never going to get everything right, because some of these farmers in this area have been doing it for so long that ways you thought right weren't actually right. But I did grow up on a farm. We raised cattle. I was in FFA. I showed sheep. I've been around livestock and farming and crops and all that stuff for a very long time, all my life, I guess. And you're never right when it comes to some of these old farmers anyway. So you just try to be as accurate as you can be.
This is James Copeland's radio station, KGGF. He's assembled a great team who obviously respect him. I had the privilege of working with James Copeland, who's now the morning man at KGGF and sort of in charge. But I had the privilege of working with him for several years. He helped put together Sterling every damn Sunday, did brilliant work, good guy. I'm proud of you, James, and I'm very impressed that, yes, you have a full working news department tonight, Sunday night, when there's severe weather in the Coffeyville, Kansas area, and I really appreciate you sharing this with us. It's fascinating to us city folk. Thank you so much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Your heart!
Walmart!
Sterling Shop!
Naugatuck, Connecticut. One of my favorite towns. Connecticut's an awesome place. Well, a woman went into the Walmart to run a quick errand, and she didn't want to haul around the kids. And you know what happens? That generally is frowned upon these days, because she left her kids locked into the vehicle. And unlike the courtesy that you would give to your Cocker Spaniel, she didn't even crack the windows. Arrested. 8-year-old 1-year-old in the car. Yeah, this isn't that good. The car's alarm was going off as the 8-year-old was trying to get out of the vehicle. 30-year-old Talita Sonia de Carvalho Silva, quite a name, walked out of the store, got picked up by the cops. 2 counts of leaving a child under 12 unsupervised in a vehicle. 2 counts of reckless endangerment. And 2 counts to the risk of injury to a minor. Ms. Silva was released on $10,000 non-surety bond and will appear in the Waterbury Superior Court on July 9th. Reminder, it's hot this summer because it's, well, summer! It's summer! And during the summer, it gets what? Hot! And unlike the 1970s or earlier, people take a shine, and it's problematic if you leave the kiddos in the car for any time at all. That's why if you sign up for Walmart and their wonderful subscription program, you could have your groceries and wonderful items delivered straight to your home. Thus, you don't have to get arrested or be out with the kids and want to jail them in your car. Who hasn't wanted to jail kids in a car? I have. I don't even have kids. If I had kids, I'd be all about that. Free Ms. Silva. No, don't free her. But here we go. Is what it is. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
He's the master of the radio. He's even got his own show. There's nothing that he doesn't know. It's Sterling every damn night. His studio is the laundry room. He isn't into gloom and doom. You cannot call him on Zoom. It's Sterling every damn night. Observant, conversant, very fervent. So put on your radio and warm up some hot cocoa, 'cause things are about to get loco on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn Sunday. Sterling every damn Sunday. This is a live radio show, and you can go on the radio live by calling this number. Ready? This is our live line. You can become the media. Instead of complaining to your significant other on that endless ride home tonight, the endless ride home, you left later than you planned to. Yeah, she kept talking to her sister-in-law. Your sister-in-law controls your marriage. You can call me. 855-839-1210. That's my phone number. And you get to talk to Maine, to Miami, and on the Odyssey app, the whole world. 855-839-1210. Shai Rashad is the CEO of the University of the World. Is that right, Shai? Of the World?
Yes, yeah, Shai Rashad, and I'm the president of University of the People.
And what subject areas does your university specialize in at the University of the People? What is your curriculum focused on?
So University of the People is a nonprofit, tuition-free, accredited American online university that is opening the gates of higher education for anyone who cannot afford going to university for any reason. And we teach only the degrees that are relevant for the job market: business administration, computer science, and health science, associate and bachelor degree, as well as master in education, master in IT, and master in education.
You don't have a physical location. It's all online. Is that right, Shai?
Yeah. We have 153,000 students studying fully online from 209 countries. Obviously, the largest one is the U.S.
You say it's fully accredited, and congratulations, that's not easy. What entity accredits you? Because I'm not in higher education. I'm going to ask you some questions that may seem juvenile to you, but I'm working at a disadvantage because I'm in radio, and we know almost nothing.
No, actually, thank you. That's a good question, so thank you for asking. We are accredited by WASC, which is the Western Accreditation Agency. We are in the same accreditation with Berkeley, Stanford, UCLA. So this is our accreditation agency, WASC. We are also accredited by DEAC, which stands for Distance Education Accreditation Commission. And so we are an American accredited university recognized in the U.S. and everywhere in the world. And actually, when we received our regional accreditation from WASC recently, it creates a wave of a lot of new students joining us because of this accreditation.
All right. This is the University of the People. The CEO, Shai Rashad, is talking to you and me. My number is 855-839-1210. You said that this was a university for anybody, anybody who, for whatever reason, can't afford another university or, for a better reason, has chosen your university. And my first thought was, nobody can afford any other university. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when going to a university was a reasonable goal for a middle-class family. Now, it's a reasonable goal for venture capitalists, people running trillion-dollar funds. Nobody can afford to go. You must have, and how many students did you say you have?
153,000 students and growing.
What is your most popular course? Do you know?
Well, undergraduate is computer science, but combined with graduate, it's business administration. And by the way, you're right. The price of higher education came to the point that most people cannot make it, cannot afford it. So we built the university to show that higher education can be accessible, affordable, with the right quality for everyone, everywhere. As long as you have high school diploma, you are more than welcome to join us. However, it is important to understand that while we are tuition-free, first of all, we are not totally free. There is a cost of $160 per each end of course exam, which means a full BA is $5,600, or if you study full-time, a year will cost you $1,600. And at the same time, when you come to us, you have to take two courses to show us that, first of all, to see that you like our pedagogy. Obviously, we are fully online, which requires the students to have the motivation and the self-discipline, but also to show us that they meet our academic standards. So it's not easy, but it is affordable and accessible. You pass the two courses, you get credit for them, and you are more than welcome to continue with us to get an accredited degree that will help you with the job market and have a better career.
Well, now that Shai has gotten you interested, the name of the school, again, is University of the People. It's a fully accredited college with over 100,000 undergraduate students. They focus on a curriculum that will get you work, computer science, computer coding, other technological fields where the job market is robust. And Shai, how many years has the University of People been in existence?
Well, we started in 2009, so it's 16 years. And it took us until 2014 to achieve our initial accreditation. Since then, we started an accelerated growth period, and we received last year, well, actually, early this year, the WASC accreditation, but we are already 16 years on the road.
Well, that's huge. Now, Shai, is it universityofthepeople.com or universityofthepeople.edu?
uopeople.edu. So if you want to go online, uopeople.edu, or check for University of the People. There is only one, and all the details are there for anyone who is interested.
Shai Rashad, CEO, University of the People, an honor to hear about innovation in a way that we can all get a college degree. Congratulations, Shai. Thank you very much for being on Sterling Every Damn Night. On my Facebook page, I will post that link, Walter Sterling on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. I will post that link for University of the People, Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your time to Sterling.
Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. This is a, listen carefully, Talk 1300 in Albany, 98.7 FM. Talk 1300 in Albany. Listen carefully. This is a three-hour show. Hour one, hour two, and coming up, hour three. If you're listening on Talk 1300 to the great Paul Vandenberg station, who is a dear friend and a great broadcaster, I think you should share with him your love and fondness for the idea of this being a three-hour show. Walter M. Sterling thanks Phil Zachary, Paul Vandenberg, Michael Ewing, Bill White at KFBK, David Yadgaroff, Greg Stocker, WPHT Philadelphia, Dan Gaffney, Delaware 105.9, Kurt Johnson, head of programming for Town Square. Hey, Kurt, am I on all of the Town Square talk stations, all of them? Because I gave your company, Town Square, its financial engine called New Jersey 101.5. I understand why I wouldn't be on New Jersey 101.5, because the founding consultant, who gets not enough credit, made it very clear that that wouldn't be the best way to go. But on all the other talk stations, Kurt, I think it's time. In fact, I think it's time for this show to be on every Odyssey station. The interesting thing about this show, and I will share with you 30 seconds of show business, there's always a lot of turnover in network radio over stations taking your show and not. New program director comes in, thinks they're going to be a genius by dumping a show, picking up a different show, rather than saying, you know, I'm going to make another show. I haven't heard that in 25 years. Yeah, you know, we're going to take this feed from Dweebel Broadcasting. I know the guy. He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us custom logos. The host agreed to say whatever we wanted for promos.
Sterling every damn night.
As will I. But I think the interesting thing about this show is we've had no turnover. All the Odyssey stations, except for one strange stray in Vegas, has kept the show on since they started taking it. KMOX, WPHT, they've expanded the time. Program directors, general managers are vaguely pragmatic about things like that. The fact that they expanded the amount, number of time we're on any one of their stations, I view as a great compliment. KDKA, thank you. You know what a kick it is for me, and then I'll shut up about radio. You know what a kick it is for me to say this show is on KDKA? I was thinking about the genesis of American radio. It started at KDKA. That was the first commercial radio station in the United States of America, KDKA in Pittsburgh. 50,000 watts. An honor to be on the station. But I was thinking about how business works. Somebody at KDKA at the dawn of time, was in 1928, at the dawn of time said, it's earlier than that, said, all right, well, how do we make this into a business? They realized that newspapers got advertising. They thought, well, maybe we could go to those advertisers and see if they would like to purchase time on the radio. And they convinced some advertisers to do that. And what happened? It worked. People came to the store. We got feet to the floor. People bought products based on what the announcers said. It worked very fast and very well. If it had not worked at KDKA, I probably wouldn't be on any radio station. The medium probably would have never developed if the first place that ran commercials, KDKA, if it hadn't worked, no one else would have done it. Businesses are pragmatic. Oh, that worked? Gee, maybe we can get a license and put on a radio station. Well, I think the next one was like WTRY in Troy, New York, something like that. Anyway, so it worked. And here's the damnedest thing. 100 years later, the reason this medium continues to thrive in spite of all these new things, these streaming things, to me, a stream, an audio stream, is called buffering now. Usually when I go to a stream, it says buffering now. Now, if they were smart, they would sell buffering. They would sell the buffering now. That's what they should do. The reason this show is on the air on great radio stations like WGAN, KFBK, KGGF, is because when hosts on this station say, try this product, you got to get the Percal sheets from Mike Lindell because they're spectacular. I put on those Percal sheets today on my bed. And the genius of Mike Lindell is finally somebody made fitted sheets that are a little too big. And they slip right on. I did not have to arm wrestle with the sheets. How embarrassing it is for a man to lose arm wrestling with the sheets. And no man, no straight man, knows how to fold a fitted sheet. But Mike Lindell made sheets that I can put on without calling in three people to hold down the... Would you hold down that other side of the sheet so I can put this on? Those are our victories. If Mike Lindell wasn't selling sheets and pillows, those great pillows on sale right now, we wouldn't be here. It works. The medium works. The reason why radio is here is not because it's tradition. No medium lasts because of tradition. It has to be thriving. It has to generate a result. And what is this? This isn't traditional tech or, it isn't, I love it. I go to conventions. Well, you know, legacy tech like over-the-air TV, AM and FM. No, we're not a legacy technology. Radio is a proven technology. It's a proven technology. You get in your car, and what do you have to do? You turn it on, and you pick AM or FM. You turn it on. How's that Uconnect working? How's that going for you? How many times do you have to try to get your phone to connect to your car? That's an unnatural pairing. A telephone and a 100-year-old gasoline-driven vehicle. Gasoline-powered vehicle and your telephone. That's not natural. That's against the laws of nature. And it always repels it. I have never gotten into a car and it just works. Have you? But it's like air conditioning in hotels. The cheaper the car, the better the Bluetooth. The cheaper the hotel, the better the AC. Guaranteed. Worst AC possible, a $500 a night hotel. The worst. I go into a cheap, crappy hotel where all the rugs are threadbare. I turn on that air conditioner. Boom, it's Alaska instantly. Right? And this weekend, that was particularly important because you and your significant other argued over which hotel to go to. But you knew that the one that was the cheapest would also have the best air conditioning. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I want to tell a story entitled, What Happened to That Guy? So in my NYPD career, one of the things I would get involved in is insurance fraud. And unfortunately, in New York City, a lot of New Yorkers think nothing about spending 50 cents worth of gas to set their car on fire or abandon it in a lot and then collect on the insurance money. So one day after Christmas, I was driving around a wooded area of the Bronx and I saw this Hyundai with Florida plates parked in the woods. My partner and I approached it, and the car appeared to be intact. The door locks were fine. I opened up the passenger door, and the car was covered with a layer of soot. Someone had parked it in the woods and filled it with gasoline and lit a match. But then they shut the doors, and within the windows rolled up, there was no oxygen, and the fire burnt out, but essentially ruined the interior. So I had the car towed to our lot. I filled out a report, and I waited. A couple of weeks later, a woman in South Florida reports the car stolen and says she had the car the night before. Now, that's impossible. I had it the day after Christmas. So I call up a local police department where she filed a report, and I'm trying to talk the detective into arresting her for insurance fraud. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. So I said, do you know anybody in the sheriff's office that can help me out with this? So he directed me to a state insurance fraud investigator. I call that guy up. Guy's originally from the Bronx. We build up a rapport. We're going back and forth. He goes, this is great. A couple of weeks later, he calls me back and he says, hey, I made an arrest with that case. I charged you with insurance fraud. Thank you so much for the heads up. I really appreciate it. I said, no problem. And from there, we built up a rapport. And I was retiring in a year or so, and I was moving to Florida. And I figured, you know what? Maybe this guy can hook me up with a job with the State Insurance Fraud Bureau. Well, I moved down to Florida, and I call him up. And he basically explains to me that down here in Florida, it's not just stolen cars they work on. It's staged accidents. Now, a staged accident is when they fill up a car with a bunch of people with basic insurance. They drive around looking for somebody who's got a nice car. They slam on the brakes. You hit them. Four people jump out holding their necks and they sue you. I said, thanks, but no thanks. That sounds like a paperwork nightmare. Anyway, while I was researching for one of my books, I said, whatever happened to that guy? So I Googled his name, and unfortunately, I found out that the investigator who I worked with had been arrested and charged with falsifying police reports down here in Florida. I couldn't believe it. The guy who originally was a homicide investigator with a South Florida Police Department, retired, got a South job, and threw his life away for just signing his name on someone else's reports. So you never really know who you're dealing with sometimes in law enforcement. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my NYPD Through the Looking Glass podcast, available on YouTube.
I just held the door open for a really cute girl, and she said, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. Have a good night. It's not even 9 a.m. yet.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Today, I had a major achievement with a kitchen appliance. Details and moments first.
Tell them every night, lost in space. Mission control, take shots.
It's a morning show at midnight. Get it? That's all you have to understand. Program directors, you have the hardest job in the world. This is a morning show, but it's for people who go to work on the best shift. The best shift is the one that just started. And if you're working right now in a patrol car, a fire station, a warehouse, a baking facility, I'd love to see a picture of your break room. Take a picture of it with that phone that you made them get you for Christmas. Take a picture of it and send me the picture to WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. I really enjoy seeing what you're looking at when I'm on the radio. And I posted on my Facebook, too. You can see what I'm looking at. Dave Scott, legendary Canadian, 51st state, welcome to Sterling every damn night.
Number one, it is always good to be with you in the Midnight Misfits each and every damn night here on your show.
Now, Dave, there have been so much information coming out about Washington and its relationship with the President of the United States and things that they may have been teaching him and telling him about UAPs. I never knew what UAP stood for, so we'll go with UFO. What do you think's going on? Why now?
That's the million-dollar question that I have been asking for a number of years, Walter, is why now? There makes no sense whatsoever that this story, as of 2017, has come out. Now, I've been able to label it down to two different aspects of this. Number one, the aliens are coming, and they are giving us plenty of time to try and figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to deal with it. Or number two, this is a technological false flag that they are putting on in order to try and, you know, take over more of the world economically. I really don't know. I mean, it is a tinfoil hat conspiracy from the top right to the bottom. We know President Trump has been read in on this numerous times. There seems to be infighting within the Pentagon and other people, we call them whistleblowers, and others who are saying that we need to be able to bring this story to the output, that we are not alone. However, the big cover-up is we don't know what's our technology and what is alien technology. That is the big fight right now, and we don't know why the direction is happening.
Dave Scott does a show called Spaced Out Radio in Canada, and you can hear every one of his shows on YouTube at Spaced Out Radio. He's got a website, spacedoutradio.com. He's also an expert on Sasquatch, Bigfoot, portals. Do you have any updates on your Sasquatch sightings?
Walter, I'm going to tell you a story from last night that absolutely scared the living daylights out of me.
And okay, one condition.
Yes.
You take the time to really tell it good. I want to hear this story. We all want to hear this story.
All right. For many of your listeners who maybe be tuning in for the first time hearing this, I have been personally investigating an area here that we call Flight 21, where on July 8th, 1965, a plane blew up about 30 miles into the forest here. It is still known as Canada's largest unsolved mass murder. And over the years, we have been investigating this area for paranormal, supernatural type activity. However, we didn't expect creatures like Sasquatch to start showing up, creatures like aliens and UFO landings and UFOs in the sky showing up. So I have gone on an endeavor with my partner, Tim James, and he and I have been going through a lot of different aspects of this case, not the flight itself. The cause we know is the crash. The effect of all the high strangeness that is happening here, that is what my buddy Tim and I are investigating. So last night we went out there and it was very peaceful. It was so peaceful. You could walk around. The birds were chirping. There was no animals around. We were just kind of doing our thing, investigating the areas, feeling it out, trying to see what was going to happen. Then at about 9:30 Pacific time last night, we ended up hearing, as we were sitting on our chairs waiting for something to happen, we had some other things that we wanted to try experimentally, including a ghost box session called the Estes Method. This is where you take away all of your different senses, your height, your eyes, your ears, and you literally go into a trance listening to a FM radio signal that all you hear is static and tick, 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 tick as it goes through the radio dial. It is alleged that that ghosts in that area or in any area can actually speak through the white noise, and that's why it's called a ghost box. So right before we were about to do the ghost box session, which we call the Estes Method, where Tim would wear noise-canceling headphones and all he would hear is the radio signal, and we would blindfold Tim so that way he could not see anything. He could not hear our questions. He could not see our mouths move. I was about 20 feet away from him, but before this happened, we heard about 80 feet from us a noise in the trees, like something shuffling through the trees. And this is where it gets scary, Walter.
Yes.
We started hearing voices off in the distance of a woman yelling, "Help me. I'm over here. Help me. Come here. Can you help me? I love you. Please help me." And then a man's voice came in, "We're over here. Help us." And this, it was quiet enough that I don't think our microphones picked it up, but it was loud enough for us to make out the words. Now, I have no idea the distance of these voices, okay? But if you were looking at a clock, and if you were looking at 12 o'clock, high noon, these voices were happening a couple hundred, about 100 yards plus away from us at about 4 o'clock. The voices then moved up to 3 o'clock. And the one thing that we know, if you've never been in the forest around high weird strangeness, the one thing that you know is when you hear voices calling for you in the forest, you never go because it's not people. It could be a creature like a skinwalker. It could be a native creature called the Wendigo. Something was trying to lure us into the forest. Now, a researcher, a former police officer named David Politis from CanAmMissing.org, he has an entire series called Missing 411, where people have heard voices calling them into the forest. I swear if we would have went there, we would have been taken. Now, it didn't end just there. We ended up putting Tim under the Estes method. And within about a minute or two of the 20-minute session, he started repeating words. I was standing about 20 feet away from him, asking him questions. There is no way he could hear me. The only people that could hear me would have been the spirits that were there, because human-wise, it was only Tim and I in the forest. Tim starts asking questions, and then a few minutes in, he starts saying that there are really rude words coming out of the ghost box. The F word came up a few times, the F-U. F you again. And then it said my name, Dave. It said, I know you. I'm in your dreams. And at that exact same time, the woman's voice that was in the trees had now moved to about 11 o'clock, and it was closer. I would say it was within 60 yards of us, yelling, come help me. I'm over here. Help me. Can you come here? I'm over here. We packed up and we got the hell out of there, Walter. I don't know what that voice was. I don't want to know. I've never experienced this before. And I will be honest with you, I rarely get scared, Walter, but I was absolutely shivering for about an hour and a half afterwards.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio and spacedoutradio.com, with a ghost story. If you hear your name being called in the darkness of night, don't go. Sterling every damn Sunday. Extra.
Cowboys, yes, another arrest. Kelvin Joseph Jr., who played for a while for those Dallas Cowboys, was picked up after he killed a motorcycle driver, allegedly. And I shouldn't even say motorcycle driver. How about a motorcyclist? That would be right. And then he went out to the lodge of Richardson, Texas, the home of the most beautiful Texas girls that you've ever doggone seen. He is not on a team right now, unless you call being on a UFL team or some minor league team he's on. He's not with an NFL team. No longer with the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, he pulled over his BMW and was having a hard time standing. He was using the BMW as a way to remain upright, which is probably a good sign if you want to stay standing. Bad sign if you're in a fatal car crash. The family of Miss Morris, they are suing the lodge. They are suing Kelvin Joseph Jr. They're also suing the dive on 75 for allowing this feller to leave their establishments, and he was pretty doggone inebriated, allegedly. I have to throw in allegedly a couple of times. This crash was so bad that it shut down northbound lanes on Highway 75 for more than 3 hours. It's tough being an NFL player that doesn't quite catch on with the team, because this fella wasn't around long enough to, well, become a rich guy. So he's going to be probably going to the Hooskow, my guess. And my guess is when he gets out, he's going to be penniless and he'll have to work a real job. Like us,
will be standing outside that Home Depot like we do, asking for construction gigs. It's a thing. The Lodge, by the way, in Richardson, Texas, an excellent strip club. May I suggest you visit it? Their website's incredible. You're going to want to Google that up. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
Kinda want a Slurpee from 7-Eleven. Kinda want you to kiss me from 7 to 11. Decisions, decisions.
Sterling every damn night.
Yes, I have long COVID. As a result, when I inhale, I think I'm smelling car exhaust. And at first, of course, I thought it was carbon monoxide from the furnace or actually from a car. But then there are no cars running anywhere near me, and there's no furnace running anywhere near me. But right now, I smell car exhaust. A couple months ago, I smelled forest fires. That could have been that Canadian nonsense. Long COVID, and they really don't have a good answer for this. Oh, it'll go away. But can you imagine that your body has been changed so much by one vaccine that it completely changes what you inhale, the aromas that you inhale, and it affects everything? In my case, it's not that strong. It doesn't affect my taste, but it's always there. Well, that means that the cells in my body have been changed. This isn't just my nose. It can't just be my nose. It must be other things. And I had other problems that I could trace to that COVID vaccine. And anytime I bring this up with a real doctor, say, you know, this vaccine did this, this, and this, their answer is always the same. Really? Well, that's very interesting. That's all they ever say, because they know they're soaking in liability.
Sterling every damn night.
I will give you a hack with AAA. You ever call AAA and you're in real trouble and you need them to come right away, right? Okay. If you call the 800 number or the 888 number on your card, good luck. I'll see you in August. That's when they're going to show up. I have found that if I get a local AAA office, one near wherever I am, and I call that office, they're usually just one or two people sitting in there not doing much. And two things happen. They knew who to call to get to me wherever I am in their area. And number two, and this is like a AAA secret. I don't know why they don't talk about this. Anytime I call a local office, I can get a better deal. Oh, we'll throw in 8 family memberships. Oh, we'll make sure that the tow comes right away. We'll lower the monthly fee. Whatever it is, the local office has extraordinary power to get me a better deal. And I bet they would for you, too. Isn't that something? More about AAA than I ever wanted to know. Let's see, what else should we talk about? There's so much to talk about. Oh, yeah, listen to this. Okay, listen. I'm not going to play the whole song, but just hear this. It's a group called Haim, H-A-I-M, an opening act for Taylor Swift. Three sisters. They make fantastic music. You and I are listening to what these ears think is a hit song. It has hooks. I understand every word. It talks about sex, relationships, right? It's on their brand new album, which is called I Quit. It's a great album. As a talk show host, every talk show host in America can do something that almost no disc jockey in America can do. Almost no disc jockey in America can put on a song. They can't say, boy, I just heard this new Haim album. It has great stuff on it. And play it on their show. No owner's going to allow that. Those playlists that you hear on the music stations, they are studied and researched and argued over. and centralized. They are centralized. And God help the program director or disc jockey who deviates from the approved list of songs that you hear on those cute little silly FM stations. Silly, silly music stations. But any talk show host can put on a song. I could play any song I wanted during the show. No one's going to check. No one cares. Therefore, there's a thing in the music industry called service, that you service radio stations that are promoting and playing their songs. I should be able to get a member of Haim on this show. And I could if they would service it Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Every damn Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. I was talking to my friend Michael Harrison, and we were complaining about the fact that today there is not this big separation in different types of music or different genre or different decades the way there was for many, many years in radio. It doesn't matter. Because of the accessibility, the second you want to hear a song, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you about a playlist. You ready? God Only Knows. This is somebody's favorite song. Songs. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. Real Love by the Beatles. America by Simon and Garfunkel. And those are her three favorite songs. Those are her three favorite songs. She's 13. Those are her favorite songs. And the list is all like that. Hits, familiar. She doesn't like the Beatles. She likes Real Love by the Beatles. She doesn't like other Beach Boys songs. She likes God Only Knows. But she's very specific, and she's 13. We like songs. Very few people like classic rock or top 40. We like a certain group of songs. And as technology has evolved, it becomes easier and easier for us to make the playlist that we want. It is time to let go of all of those wackadoodle rules. Wackadoodle rules. All right, I've got an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I know I owe a few of you filthy cards. If you want a filthy card, just send me an email with your real address, and we'll mail one to you. Those are going to go out this week. If there are any stray kazoos that are owed to you, they will go out this week. I am sorry for the delay. There was a lot of crap that we had to deal with, but it's dealt with, and it's fine, and we're happy. And I have a website. It's Walter Sterling Show. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. I feel that we've learned a lot tonight. We've learned about the University of the People, with 100,000 undergraduates. Can you imagine that? University of the People with 100,000 undergraduates. I posted their link on my Facebook page, which is Walter Sterling Show. And that's what I know. Oh, tomorrow I'm having retina surgery. I'm having surgery on my retina. Yeah, I don't wish that on anybody. No, it's painless. They give you really good drugs. I'll let you know how it goes. I will give you more details than you could ever imagine. All right, Sean, how much time I got here? Oh, that's different than I thought. Well, let's see. This is what I had to tell you about the appliance. Listen to me. You know how on an oven door, there are two pieces of glass, and then inside is all the dirt that you can't get to? And I studied, I'm like, how do I get to the dirt inside the oven door? I'm such a goof. Two screws. All I had to do was undo two screws on my Whirlpool oven, and it lifted right up. I could get right inside. It wasn't complicated at all. These are the victories that we really cherish and relish. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Smarty books, lusty books. Get cozy with the old man dumb. I found someone dumb.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime. Natalie sat on the bench and raised her hands to the keyboard. Concentration furrowed her brow as she began the piece, and she wrinkled her nose at the first missed note. She continued, though, and the lines on her face relaxed as her fingers danced over the keys. The passionate musician I'd fallen for appeared in front of me, and I watched and listened, as captivated as I was the first moment I heard her play. Music filled the room, the complex passages swelling to glorious crescendos. The melodies and chords resonated inside my head, and something stirred inside me, yearning to break free. The room felt too big and too small at the same time as a hurricane of emotion ripped through me, and I struggled to catch my breath. While I squirmed in my chair, she played on, oblivious to my agitation as her performance consumed her. Quietly, I stood. If she noticed, she showed no signs of it. I moved behind her, searching for some way to either release some of the building pressure or draw more of her energy inside me. Dropping to my knees on the carpet, I circled my arms around her waist from behind. She stiffened and fumbled a few notes, but then resumed playing with the same intensity. I closed my eyes and pressed my cheek to her back, letting the music flow through me. Her solid presence beneath my touch was the only thing keeping me tethered to reality, even as she coaxed the most indescribable sounds from her instrument. I still may not have known a damn thing about what it took to become an accomplished pianist, but it didn't matter. In that instant, I felt more connected to anyone or anything than I ever had before, and it was exhilarating. She reached the end of the movement, the echoes of the last notes decaying into silence. Her heartbeat thrummed in my ear, accompanied by the rhythm of her breathing against me. She rested her hands atop mine, and we stayed there for an endless moment I feared would end too soon. Natalie turned around, swiveling on the bench while remaining in my grasp. From my position on the floor, I stared up at her, afraid of moving and shattering whatever had formed between us. She caressed the side of my face, her fingertips skating along the contour of my jaw. Exhaling, I leaned into her touch. Fire smoldered in her dark brown eyes. Without saying anything, she slid off the bench, straddling my lap. Pressing her lips to mine, she threaded her fingers through my hair, holding me in place. Electricity sparked within me as her tongue plunged inside my mouth, and my grip on her strengthened. I kissed her back with fervor, reveling in the taste of her as we explored each other. For the first time, nothing stood in our way, no guilt or regrets. I held her tight, skimming one palm up her spine as our tongues tangled together. When she flattened against my chest, her hips undulating toward me, I twitched beneath her. I froze, as there was no way she couldn't feel it. A giggle reverberated through my mouth as she ground against me harder. She pitched forward, sending us both tumbling to the carpet. We lay side by side, limbs entwined as our kiss resumed. Her fists balled in the collar of my shirt, and she yanked me closer, eliminating any gap between us. All my senses went into overdrive, my mind a blur. when I'd left home earlier that day. Never had I dreamed our date would end with us making out on the living room floor like a couple of teenagers. Reality was better than anything my imagination had ever conjured. Yet something held me back. "Wait," I mumbled, panting for air. "Wait a minute." She drew back, though her hands remained on my shoulders. "What is it?" I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts, you can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon. And don't forget, you can always send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's keep going. A million different thoughts about all the ways I could screw this up ricocheted through my head. But I needed reassurance. I thought we were going to take things slow. Her grasp on my shirt relaxed. "Do you want to stop?" Was this a trick question? "Honestly?" I said aloud. "No." She traced the curve of my lower lip with the pad of her finger. For so long, I worried about what other people thought I should be doing instead of what felt right. As she spoke, she took my hand and pressed it to her chest. "This feels right." My fingers sank into the supple flesh of her chest. I swallowed, determined to commit every curve to memory. Our lips met once more, heat blooming between us as we resumed the enthusiasm of our prior kiss. My palms roamed her body, as it was impossible to decide which parts of her I wanted to discover first. She mirrored my explorations, her hands leaving a blazing imprint through the fabric of my shirt. A gasp left her mouth, and she responded by hooking her leg over mine. The sudden movement resulted in the skirt of her dress bunching around her waist. My hand wandered down to her exposed thigh, where I let it rest for a second before sliding it over the silky skin at the back of her leg. Her chest heaved as I inched higher and higher. I assumed I'd reach some sort of panties eventually, and was surprised to feel nothing but the string of a flimsy thong. "This is unexpected," I said, chuckling as I traced the thin strap. Natalie squirmed as I followed its path back and forth. "What can I say? It was nice and warm and breezy out today." I pulled away to raise an eyebrow at her. "Fine, you caught me." She danced her fingers down to the waistband of my pants and gave it a little tug. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I guess I thought there was a chance our date could end up like this. All the blood in my body rushed between my legs. "Next time, I should just let you plan everything, then." Her bare skin beckoned to me. I cupped the swell of her hip, giving it a playful squeeze. Her back arched, and she rubbed along the length of me. This time, I couldn't prevent the groan from escaping my mouth. She bestowed another swift kiss upon my lips, her face hovering close to mine. "If you're leaving it up to me, do you want to go upstairs?" "Oh, unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts that don't cut off in the best places. You can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon. And don't forget to share all your thoughts with me at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Do you think Caitlin Clark is a lesbian?
I wish, but I don't think so.
Do you think Caitlin Clark is a lesbian?
I think she's just happy to be here.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
No.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
I have no idea.
Do you?
No. Yes.
I do. Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
No.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
I hope so.
Do you?
Yes, but only because she's amazing at basketball and only lesbians can be so good at basketball.
Hear the happy feet dancing to the beat of the Walter.
Walter.
Put a show on top while the others flop to the Walter.
Walter.
Walter. Turn your radio up loud and the bass too. Do what all the midnight misfits do. Then shut off the light and call it a night to the Walter.
Walter.
To the Walter.
Walter.
Hear the happy feet dancing to the beat of the Walter.
Walter.
Put a show on top while the others flop to the Walter.
Walter.
Turn your radio up loud and bass too. Do what all the midnight misfits do. Then shut off the
email. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.
Sterling Every Damn Night.